and welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Duvin, your host. Thanks so much for joining us. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We also archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. And we are also rebroadcast on A2Zen.fm, where you can check their local listings to find out about the area where the program can be heard in your area. So we certainly hope that you will check that out. Check out all of our guests and their particular information, because basically the bottom line is they have it, we don't, but we want to lead you to it. So consider us as a portal of sorts. And also, if you'd like to help support the work that we're doing, go to the missions page and you can see what we're doing. If you haven't heard the program before, if you have, if you like what we're doing, there is a PayPal link there as well for you to help us in any way that you can. And again, any support is gratefully appreciated, even energetic support. We can use all of that as well. Today, we're going to embark on a journey. We're going to take a trip. We're going to head towards enlightenment. Our guest's book is Your Journey to Enlightenment, 12 Guiding Principles to Connect with Love, Courage, and Commitment in the New Dawn. Simran Singh is my guest. And Simran, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program. It's a pleasure to have you.
Oh, it's indeed a pleasure and an honor for me, Richard. Thank you for the work that you do in the world and for sharing your space in this beautiful, sacred way.
Thank you. We are going to start where I like to start, defining terms. What is enlightenment?
I think enlightenment is an experience that we invite, invoke, initiate, allow, integrate, inspire within ourselves. And I believe that we have come to believe that it is something that is handed to us from the outside, or someone comes that is above us, that anoints us, or the universe has a moment where some of us might actually have that grace where we just open. But in fact, I think it's something that we can actually reawaken and initiate within ourselves, but it requires two steps. It requires one step of really releasing everything that is not who we are, fully stepping into the mastery that each and every one of us have always been. And the second step is returning to the innocence of the divine child that we came here to be on this playground called Earth, rather than thinking that we are in a place that must be fraught with lessons and obstacles and challenges in order for us to grow. It might be a little easier than that. In fact, it is. It's a lot simpler than that, and it is meant to be the divine play that we all wish and desire to have. We simply need to step onto the true playground of life.
Well, we're certainly definitely at play. I'm not sure what game it is that some of us are playing sometimes. it becomes a little confusing at times, only because there are those of us who are, we're trying to do the best we can, listen to our inner voice, our intuition, still small voice, if you will, and follow the promptings. One of the things that I was very strong about in the 1980s, as I was going through my process, was that if I was going to listen, it wouldn't do me any good to listen if I wasn't willing to follow. And so if you're asking for instruction and then you don't follow instruction, stop asking.
Well, and that's why I wrote my first book, which is called Conversations with the Universe. And it is about the signs, symbols, synchronicities that appear in our lives that are very much in both the mundane in our lives and in what we want to call the mystical. And they show up all of the time, everywhere for each one of us. All of us have this coming to us. We're just not aware of it, and we're not listening, and we're not engaging in the conversation, because a conversation takes two. And what tends to happen is we do have this constant tapping that shows up, whether it's as numbers or certain symbols or a certain bird or a certain person over and over again. And when that occurs, we have a moment where if we really stopped and checked what we were thinking and feeling in that moment that the sign showed up, We are being spoken to, and we're being asked to follow our heart, and the sign is simply showing up to say, follow that heartbeat, follow that desire that's in your gut, because the universe really does have your back. And so if you take a step, any step, even a small step, that is your conversation back, and then the universe will provide more messages, more conversations, more open doors or opportunities to lead you to exactly that place.
And we all have something to contribute. There's no question about it. Many of us are still looking for, trying to find, figure out what that is. You know, I mean, some people are just doing their 9 to 5 and going home and getting up the next morning and doing it again and again and again. And there doesn't seem to be any end to that. And so we are looking to, in some cases, rightly so, we're looking to other people to help us, to guide us, to say, here's how you can find out what your purpose is. Because nobody can tell anyone else what their purpose is.
You know, I have my own philosophy on purpose, and I believe we all have the exact same purpose. And that is that we are each here as experience experiencing itself. The place that we put ourselves in when we believe that we have some specific purpose in life and we have this thing that we're supposed to reach or attain or desire is we are constantly running after something that's in the future that we have no idea what it is, and we're totally missing out on the moment-to-moment life that we have at that time, when in fact we are the divine individuated here simply for the sake of experience. So what if our full job is nothing but to experience ourselves in every moment and to be so present that we really listen to our heart and our soul and what those meanderings are? We are not meant to live Groundhog Day. It is meant to be spontaneous and beautiful and creative because we are the sons and daughters of creation. And that means that we are creation itself. It doesn't mean that we are human beings. It doesn't even mean that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. It means we are creation itself, meant to change and evolve and experience. And when we come from that place, all of a sudden, then the purpose is fulfilling the passion of the moment. And if more people actually lived in their passion of the moment and fulfilling that as their purpose, allowing it to evolve and change if need be, all of a sudden you wouldn't see as much of the walking dead as you do. You may even see more solutions cropping up in the world for many of these problems that we're trying to think our way out of, because solutions come from the heart. They're not going to come from the mind. Our best thinking got us where we are. So we have to come from a different place. And that's what's so beautiful about enlightenment, is it is you giving your light, which was meant for you, back to you. That is how you step back into enlightenment. And all of that comes from the essence of 12 guiding principles, which truly are the essences of the child at play.
You are referred to as the rebel visionary. And the only thing I can say about that is that those two words, to me, are mutually exclusive. If you're a visionary, you are a rebel because you're sort of still kicking against the norms that exist in our present day.
Well, what I like for people to understand is I'm giving you a different take on rebel visionary or rebel humanitarian or creative rebel. Those are the terms that seem to be the terms that I'm identified by. And when I talk about the rebel or the creative rebel, what I'm trying to get across to you is there is no fight. There's no fight on the outside because there really is nothing to fix, save, or heal. If we are all divine and everything around us is all divinity expressing itself, then there's nothing really that needs to be fixed, save, or healed because it's all here in the experience it chose to either to evolve itself, to heal itself, to move itself, to change, to grow, whatever that is the responsibility and evolution and involution of that component of life that is appearing in front of us. There's also nothing to fix, save, or heal internally. What if that's all perfect? What if it is all exactly as it's supposed to be, and simply we're here to follow that divine passion? In the book, Your Journey to Enlightenment, I talk about a turning point taking place in our world right now, not a turning point, a turning point again comes from the outside. There's no one here. What if there's nothing here? The only thing that's here is you. And everything in the world that surrounds you is you speaking back to you. The title of your show is Tell Me Your Story. And what I'd like to offer people is, this isn't about the story that happened to you from people outside. This is the story that is happening through you. What if everything around you, this set design that is Earth, every piece and person that is on the planet, every situation and experience that occurs in front of you is actually you in another form, showing you another aspect of you so that you may discover more of yourself. That would mean you are the divine individuated, and everything around you is the divine as you individuated to give you this experience that you call a story or that you call a play. But in the end, none of it's really here. The turning point is that we've created a world that is allowing us to feel so constricted, so tight in our bodies, so confined, that we start to realize that there's something bigger inside of us that we are holding down that can no longer be kept in a bottle. Spirit is not meant to be in a bottle. It rests everywhere outside as well. And when we uncap ourselves, free ourselves, then all of a sudden we create that connection to the rest of the world that is us, and we start to discover more of who we are.
Well, it's one of the things that I think many of our programmers talk about is just that, trying to find out who we really are. Obviously, the phrase, you know, that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And as you said, you know, we're here to experience. And that's it, period. End of story. It is not a question of judgment of those experiences. It's just to have them. And I guess that there is a certain element of, catch 22, by virtue of the fact that when you come into this world, obviously as an infant, and you start growing into childhood. And it's the childhood years that we always seem to like to use as the analogies for the way in which we should be as adults. And so the catch 22 is the fact that we end up growing up into adulthood, and we disconnect from that childlike quality that we love when we look back on those moments in our lives that we loved so much when we were at play, when we were having fun running and playing games and digging in the dirt or whatever it was that you did as a kid. We look back on those fondly and go, man, I wish I didn't have to carry a wallet or keys or a phone. I didn't have to be connected. I already was connected with what I was just doing at that given moment.
Well, we took on from the people around us that were adults, that started to believe themselves to be adults, the very ideas that they started to embody. And the fact of the matter is, you are not on a journey. You are the journey. You're not a human being. This is a spacesuit that we wear. And it's filled with gadgets and whistles that are here to alert us about things that are going on inside of us. I say that we're not even spiritual beings having a human experience, because that means when we pass from here, we're just as separate as we are now. And that doesn't make any sense to me. So even instead of having experiences, what if we are being experienced? And that means that every time we're in this place, this palette, where we're saying, okay, my life is falling apart, what do I do now? Or I've just gone through this relationship and it's ended up exactly like every other relationship has ended up, and I'm sad, depressed, and lonely one more time. Or my bank account, it doesn't have the money to cover my bills. Rather than the why me, or the doom and gloom, or becoming the walking dead like so many do, what if all of these moments, number one, are here to show you something inside yourself that is asking to evolve and change and have a different experience? And it is saying, what shall the experience be now? Well, maybe the experience now is to have love in a different way, a love that is honoring, or to feel the experience of wealth and abundance and prosperity, or to step into an experience where you're fully supported. So who do I have to be to create that? What do I have to allow? What is the gift inside of me that is waiting to birth that would now allow that to be my experience? What if everything is simply happening for your good and life only conspires for your good to help you continually expand into a greater, greater allness of possibility rather than limitation of possibility? And that is the place that we're all headed. That is the place where children live. When we become adults because we've limited our mind. We've limited what we thought we could have. We've limited any idea that there's any magic or wonder in the world. But as you go through my books, Your Journey to Enlightenment, and you see how children behave on a playground, you connect what it is like to equate a piece of equipment that a child has on a playground to the way we operate in life, you start to see it is actually the same thing. What we have lost is the perspective of the child.
Yes.
The wonder, the curiosity, the playfulness, the courage, those are the pieces that we've lost. And when we step back into those pieces, we open energetically the true essence of all of the universal laws. We are limiting the laws from working just based on our own approach, perspective, and use of the laws. But as a child, we don't even think about the laws. We just are so immersed in the now experience that the laws work on our behalf.
You bring to mind an experience that I have on a daily basis with one of our dogs. And he loves to jump up and lick my face and beard, and especially after I've eaten. And there were times early on, my initial reaction was, hey, calm down, get down, you know, stop jumping up and da-da-da. And because of my understanding of what it means to be a pet owner, which, by the way, is not to control the pet, but to understand why he or she is doing what they are doing and respond in kind to them, giving them what they need. If they're hungry, if they need to go outside, if they need love. In this case, that's what he's just saying. He's just appreciating me. He's thanking me for the fun that we have, the food that he eats, the place that he has to sleep, all of those things in that expression. And I just start to laugh. And I let him do it. Up to a point when his teeth start to get involved, just because he's pressing so hard. But I let him do that. And I know that other people, and I've seen this happen, they will push the animal away. Stop it. Get down. You know, I mean, they'll scold the animal when there's no reason to. And so what this sets up is what we're talking about here.
Well, what you've just described is the pushing away of life. I mean,
yes.
Everything in our life is actually a symbol for us.
Mm-hmm.
Every single thing shows up exactly the right moment, and nothing is random. And this animal is doing this to you. First of all, the animal represents unconditional love. And it's representing expression and exuberance and gratitude and all of those things. And this is a moment where we can open ourselves to receive that and to allow life to give us that. But like you said, most of us say, no, stop, settle down, push it down. And that's how we became adults.
Yeah.
We believed as children, no, stop, settle down, be quiet, sit in a corner. And we forgot that it's okay to be this exuberant, playful, full-out being on this playground of life. And that's the remembrance that we have to have. You know, in my first book, Conversations with the Universe, I tell people, everything is you. Your pet, your car, your house. What if it is all you just trying to show you something you forgot about yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Can you ask the questions? Number one, where is that in me? Number two, what is that trying to show me about me? Number three, what is the gift within me that is desiring to awaken that has been dormant for too long? And so forth and so on. There's five questions that if you go through, you start to create a resonance and a oneness with life and really seeing how everything is that interconnected. And so that is an amazing story and a beautiful story about your dog and the illustration of allowing versus pushing away all of life.
Yeah, and I know, too, that and I can look back at my life and I can see those times when I actually did push life away. And of course, now for the last 15 or so years, it has reversed in that respect. And my wife and I just have an incredible time with our animals, the two dogs and seven cats, and we had some chickens for a while, and they were a lot of fun too. And that's the other thing that I've noticed too about many of our guests. They talk about getting back to nature as the focal point to help one to recenter. If you live in an urban area, even if it means just going to the park, I'm very fortunate that I can literally walk from my place of employment to the beach, to the ocean, and listen to the waters rushing in and out and so forth. And even on occasion hear the sea lions out on the buoy. And also where we live up on the hill above of Santa Barbara, the same thing. But that seems to be a real key, is the and maybe you phrase it differently, but it's that reconnecting with nature that quite honestly can and will make all the difference in the world.
Well, that is the closest connection back to our own true nature. You know, I talked about in the beginning of your journey to enlightenment, the first step is releasing so much of what we have created ourselves. You know, we have created a life, many of us, where we have used every excuse in the book to not have the lives that we desire. We don't realize they're even excuses. And they're things like, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not beautiful enough, or I don't have the money, I've got too much debt, I have responsibility, I have kids, I've got to pay for someone in college, or I'm sick, or I have to take care of someone that's sick. All of these things are actually excuses that we use to not live our dreams. Mm. And then we also go after the things in the future. We have agendas with everything that we're committing to. We're trying to live that ideal picket fence life that we see on TV, or we're trying to attain all the material goods that we're shown that we are supposed to have. And so we create our own bondage and our own servitude. We've become a society of replication where we are the Stepford human. And we've become people that, rather than being the individual unique genius that we all are, we have become a group of an army of people that just follow each other and never truly follow ourselves. And so if you look at nature in its essence, a seed is the celebration of a seed and is not sitting there saying, I want to become the rose bush, I want to become the flower, I want to become the tree. It's not concerned with what it's going to be. It's simply in the essence of what it is. Mm-hmm. And then as it grows into a stalk, it's not clamoring for leaves or a flower. It's in the essence of the stalk. And then one day it discovers it's in bloom. That is what we're meant to live as. And as we do that, then rather than being in bondage, we learn how to form bonds with what's around us because we're in the experience. Rather than being in servitude, we discover that our place is to be in service and connection to the world. Rather than being replicas of everything around us, we step forward and we become creative rebels that are here to be the individual unique geniuses that allow ourselves to be the example to others so that they have permission to be the same. That is what nature shows us, that there's so many forms of nature, and each one is beautiful and special and unique and has purpose just by being who it is.
Yeah, that's a hard one for a lot of us to grasp, and I know that many of us are working on it. I have to say that when I was a kid growing up, looking through the eyes of that are in my head, I used to think that the rest of the world was here for me and me alone, that I was the only one. It was like I was the only, I'll put it in this context, the only human or soul, if you will, that saw things the way that I did, felt things the way that I did, and that everything else was here strictly and exclusively for my benefit. That's how I saw it. And it wasn't an egotistical thing. This is mine. Give it to me. It's mine, mine, mine. It wasn't that. It didn't matter what I was experiencing. That mindset was where I was coming from as a kid. Mm. It wasn't coming from a place of greed or wanting to accumulate. It was more a situation of, oh, here I am. And this is all here for me. These people, these other things, whatever they are, they were other human beings, like my parents, my brother and sisters and so forth. They're all here for me and my experiences.
That's actually the way it is.
Yeah.
Everything is here for you. You're the only one here, and it was all here for your good. The problem happens in us buying into the belief systems that we're not enough.
Yeah.
And so what all is here for me, but only if I hold on to it. I have to have it. I have to own it.
I do certain things.
Yes, or if I have to work for it, I have to do for mm-hmm. it. And that's where it gets into the egoic sense or the narcissistic sense or a different sense than what it was intended to be here for. Instead, if we can say it's all here for me in the celebration of what I am and what I am in relation to it, in connection to it, and that's where we actually live a much freer life. We don't need to own everything. We don't need to control everything. We simply need to experience ourselves in the midst of everything. Mm. And when we can stay that grounded and centered within ourselves, all of a sudden, we don't get triggered. We're not hurt. We're not wounded. We're not victimized.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, because we're so centered in our own power, we understand that this is a beautiful dance and a play.
Absolutely.
That we are meant to play on.
Simran Singh is my guest. Her latest book is Your Journey to Enlightenment, 12 Guiding Principles to Connect with Love, Courage, and Commitment in the New Dawn. I'm Richard Dugan, and you are listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Oh, come on, walk.
I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Thanks for staying with us here on the program. We're talking with Simran Singh. She's the author of her latest work, Your Journey to Enlightenment, 12 Guiding Principles to Connect with Love, Courage, and Commitment in the New Dawn. Her website is simran-singh.com. I'm going to spell that for you. That is simran-singh.com. You can find out more about her work as well as the conversations with the universe, and I'd like to talk a little bit about that maybe as well. But, Simran, I wanted to ask you, you said something in the first segment that almost makes this next question a moot point, but I'm going to kind of put it together anyway because I would like to know a little bit about your story. And yet you imply, or maybe you say it rather directly, that our stories to others really aren't that relevant. It's our individual story that really is the only actually, the stories that we've been telling ourselves aren't really relevant to who and what we really are.
Yes, and what I mean by that, and I'm not discounting anything that anyone has gone through, what I am asking is that you see it from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Our stories are something that are created for us to experience ourselves through. I went through an arranged marriage. I went through a period of life where I followed into a family business where every step of the way I so wanted love that I decided that work equated love, that me doing everything that I could equated love, including giving up myself and people-pleasing with others and everything that I could possibly do, that I became the walking dead, got to the point where I was living a robotic life, completely unconscious, couldn't remember what happened in the course of a single day, and had absolutely no feeling. I was completely numb. I could not feel. And I reached a point in my life where there was such a degree of abuse and challenge and breakdown of my life that I just had to cry out to the universe, either take me out of here or help me understand. I just can't believe the world is random. I can't believe that bad things happen to good people, because I was a good person. I gave charity. I was kind. I didn't gossip. I didn't lie, cheat, or steal. I helped people to the degree of giving up myself. And so I just couldn't understand why my life looked like this. And once I put out that call and I said, give me a sign, something I just need to understand, I started seeing the numbers 11, 111, and 11, 11, 25 to 30 times a day. And it would show up everywhere, from clocks and billboards and license plates to bulldozers and trains and roller skates and football jerseys. It was ridiculous where and when it would show up. And after about the fourth week of seeing these numbers, I got so furious that I said, either tell me what you want with these numbers or make them stop. And in that moment, I was downloaded with the meaning of 1111, which is a gateway, a pre-encoded trigger inside of our cellular structure that is the doorway between positivity and negativity, between unconscious living and conscious living, between illusion and reality. And it's a moment, a number that shows up for millions of people all over the world. And with that said, I want to tell the listeners that if you're not seeing it, there's nothing wrong with you. You might start seeing it. The overall message is you're seeing something. There is something that constantly shows up for you, and that is a conversation from the universe for you. And as I watched when this number started to show up, I started to become aware of what I was thinking in that moment, and it was always a desire for life to be different in a certain way, but it was a desire for me to be different. And so I started to follow the steps of, what if I said yes to what it is that shows up when I see those symbols? And doorways started opening, and other symbols started showing up. And the more I started looking at life, I started to notice, well, what if everything is a conversation? What if it's not just numbers? What if even people that show up in my life, or something that's happened in my house, like a pipe bursting, or a flat tire on my car? What if every single thing is actually a conversation from the universe showing up to help me in my next best step? What if there really is only good in the world? And as I started to continue this, I was finishing up this magazine, and I didn't have much computer experience, and I realized I couldn't do the graphics for the magazine because I didn't know how. But I was still in a state of life where things were not so easy, so I said out loud to the universe, if you want this Life Enhancement magazine really given to humanity for free, you're going to have to bring me a graphic designer. And I shut everything off, left the room, but I saw on the clock right at that moment, it was flashing 11:11, and it was about 8 p.m. at night at that time. That night, my computer crashed, and when I got up the next morning, I couldn't turn it on or do anything, so I called someone to help. And several hours later, he told me I was going to have to get a new computer. So I was about to pay him, and he said, wait a minute, I think there's one document that I can actually pull out of here if you're interested. It's called 1111. And so he saved my document, and he asked me what it was, and I explained it. And in that moment, he said, oh, my goodness, you know, I have this great friend. She's going through a tough time, and she really could use some help right now. She's an incredible graphic designer if you need one. And that's when I realized life really does listen to us. It really does bring us what we need, and it's cloaked in what we call obstacle or challenge. What if the challenges are really the universe playing with us, and the gift is actually hidden in there? What if life is just this big box of Cracker Jacks, and we just need to find the surprise that's hidden in each and every moment? And my life has been exactly that. And that's where you get to the place that is lightness of life, being able to laugh at the story that we create and understand we've created everything that's showing up for us to help us discover the power, the presence, the beauty, the creativity that we have. And that is the essence that the child always knew.
Now, I need for you to share with us in some depth, if you can. We have the time. This pre-encoded trigger of remembrance, that being 1111. Now, obviously, in November of 2011, people went crazy.
Of course. Yes, they did.
And then they did again the year later, but in December, 12-12. And I was really glad that we didn't have a 13th month, because it was just, it was starting to get a little much. It was like Y2K every year. And I'm not wanting to take anything away from anybody, but it just seems like we in an effort to try to understand, to quote unquote simplify things, we latch onto these anchors. And quite honestly, the way I look at it nowadays, they really are anchors dragging us down.
Well, what I want people to understand, because really it's not about the symbol that's showing up as much as it is for that symbol to to help you understand that there's a connection to the universe, that you've got support, and that you are special enough to have a communication. 11 by itself is a master number. All double-digit numbers are. And as you continue on your spiritual journey, you're going to start to see these numbers, either 11, 22, 33. Some of you see 333, 444, or you see double digits. You wake up at a certain time at night on the clock. Those are ways that are inside of our cellular structure, our DNA, to bring back that remembrance of divinity that we have forgotten. We're all playing out eons of time of belief systems and reincarnations of discordant experiences that we've had to play them out through what some people call karma. I just call it experience. We're washing ourselves through experience back to the purity and the innocence and the wonder and the divinity that we all came in as, that are puzzle pieces of the divine. And as we do so, as we step into our unique genius, we each, as that puzzle piece, work our way back into that overall singular mass or puzzle that is the divine that has come here to express. One key point for each of you to understand is at the age of 11, some significant event happened in your life where you made the decision to either stay on your soul path or to step off of it and take the scenic route. The scenic route being the dark night of the soul, that part of life that feels barren at times, that feels heavy, dark, dense. And it could have been the birth of a child where you all of a sudden were cast aside or you felt cast aside. It could have been the death of someone in your family. It could have been a divorce. It could have been a move across the country. You had to leave all of your friends. It could have been an illness. Some specific moment created such an embedded fracture or belief system inside of your body at age 11 that you then were trying to reconcile for the rest of your life. And it would have been the distortions of love and fear in that moment. And at every double-digit number, which is a master number, you are given another significant event in your life to literally plop you back on your soul path if you're willing to say the yes. And many of the signs and symbols will surround you with much more frequency at those master number years around your birthday. And so it's a beautiful way that the universe has been created. And in the end, we all kind of boil down to a mathematical solution because it's all so beautifully a matrix that if we follow along, we can play this amazing game and we can discover that we are actually all of it playing in the board game of the universe. It is just an amazing play that we are in.
Absolutely. I was introduced to sacred geometry probably 20 years ago. While I was working for a company. And in particular, the gals were very much into it, and they were talking to me about it and so forth. And I kept going, well, what is this? I mean, I don't know anything about the digits 0 through 9 that are really special. I've heard about numerology, and this number is this, and it means this, and so forth, and the combinations, you know, and even what you said. And then I started looking at the geometric forms that they were showing me. They were similar in, I'll say, structure or construct to the designs that I would draw and then color in. Even to this day, when I sit down, one of the first images that I'll do a big square, circle or something, and then I'll start drawing lines across from one side to the other, top to bottom, left to right, in all different directions. And then I'll start connecting those lines in different ways. And then when I start coloring things in, I always make sure that no two colors appear in adjacent spaces. You know, and so it becomes a giant puzzle, and then of course it gets all colored in, and then it looks pretty cool, and all of that, so I started to begin to understand these symbols, and of course there's the Star of David is in essence a sacred geometric symbol, and I began to look at these, and I wanted to know more. You know, and of course I'd left this place of employment by then. And so when I talked to people about this, I basically well, what power do these symbols really have, and where's the most appropriate place to display them or put them? Should I have tattoos of them put all over my body in the right places to accentuate the energies and so forth and the chakra centers? Can you, without going into all the detail of the questions that I just put forth, can you give us sort of a sacred geometry 101 in maybe about 10 minutes?
Absolutely. When I was downloaded with the magazine, I was actually downloaded with also the logo of 1111, and it was the formation of four sacred geometric circles that had been combined, and they were truth, growth, energy, and wisdom. And each of those were circles with the lines as you were talking, and when you put them together, they formed unification. And what I was given is that we are all light, sound, and color. We are actually streams of light, sound, and color that have individuated as physical form. And the sacred geometry is actually sacred geometric forms that are we are encompassed within, but that we can't see. We each have very many of these that we can utilize in our chakra system, which is our rainbow body that goes up the front of our spine. We extend about 9 to 20 feet outside of our physical body that we can consciously be aware of if we allow ourselves to tap in to the light, sound, and color of our body. And it is a way to explore ourselves in multidimensional realms. The sacred geometric forms are simply another way to amplify ourselves. And the more that we allow ourselves to play with the different pieces of reality, and most of us only play in the physical realm, but there are many different realms that we actually are connected to if we allow ourselves to bring awareness to. That was part of the reason that I was guided to write Your Journey to Enlightenment, is because we have to release many of the things that have created the bondage and the servitude and the tightness around us and dive back into more of this essence of play, because that is what awakens our multidimensional form again. The freeness, the ability to have the divine wonder that a child has, which is true intimacy with our environment, which is allowing ourselves to utilize our senses to greater degrees than what we actually utilize them with, or divine curiosity, which allows us to be open and excited in every moment about everything. And so once we start to embark on these ways of a child, you see, shapes are very important to a child. Colors, very important to a child. Playing with all of that ends up being a way that we tap into the different realms. And for people that say, that's a little woo-woo for me, or that's a little out there for me, just look at everything in the world and what it's created as. Everything is a form. And our most powerful forms happen to be in the structure of a circle. Everything comes full circle. Everything is a spiral. Everything requires a closed loop to be at oneness. And so sacred geometry, just like numerology or astrology or many of these other esoteric means, are simply other pieces of our own remembrance, because we are each only cells inside of a greater body. We're cells inside of the body of Earth, which is a loving, breathing organism, and Earth is simply an organ inside of a greater body that is divinity, that is encompassed of many universes.
You know, and to that point, I used to think, especially from the biblical standpoint of as above, so below, when I would see the diagrams in science class of the subatomic particles, the first thought that came to my mind, and I don't know why science does not acknowledge this, it looked like the solar system. It looked like the planets surrounding a sun. And I'm going, why is this so hard? When I said to my father, when the computer age began for us in our family in probably the late 90s, I said, you do know that the computer is pretty much designed after the human being and the brain, minus the emotions. You know, you have memory and you have a place to work, you know, the desktop, and you have all of these different components. And he, no, it's not. That's what he said. He said, no, it's not. I'm going, well, how can you not see this? And you know, of course, you know, everybody's always said that I see things a little differently, but that's fine. But I look at the subatomic and I look at the universe, at least the representations that were shown, again, in science class of the universe, the solar systems, the galaxies, and I'm going, How come people aren't seeing this? That it's all the same from top to bottom, from the smallest to the largest.
Well, and see, despite ourselves, we are still guided. There are those of us that can see things like that, and there's a majority that still wants to close their eyes and put the veils within themselves so that they can't see. But inspiration allows technology to advance us, and it is all to move us to a place where we are more evolved. You know, a lot of people think technology is holding us back, but if you look at a little child with an iPhone, I know my own little one at a year and a half knew how to unlock it, knew how to find an app, knew how to do everything. And we're moving to these children that are going to be, or that are telepathic. They're moving to an age where they will be able to communicate without even using their mouth. And we're going to become stronger in our connection in that way if we allow that to happen. And so there are ways that life is actually evolving us, even though we are not allowing ourselves sometimes the conscious awareness of that.
Yeah.
And that's why even the systems crumbling, the banking system or the healthcare system or the political structures, even in their crumbling, it is because we are at a place of a birthing of something new. Birth and death always exist simultaneously. It is not linear. It is all simultaneous. And so if we can simply stay in the perception and the experience that everything that is happening is only for my good and only for me to discover what is the greater experience of me that can be experienced now through this, then we will constantly birth ourselves within and through experience. And that's the real story. That's the one that you're here to actually embody, encompass, and allow.
It kind of raises, though, the question, if I was to take that perspective, that perspective of my life, what about all of those other things that you just mentioned, you know, climate change and the ecology and the banking system and add whatever other things you want to add to that, because I'm just here to experience. And some would say that it's a throwback to the 60s. I'm just going to go find myself. You know, I'm not going to concern myself with you or you or you. I'm just going to go find myself. So how would you address someone like that who is of the opinion that we should be about the work of saving the planet and propping up the financial system and blah, 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 blah?
There's a difference. If you are here saying, oh, my gosh, the economic system, the money exchange, you know, we need to come up with a new way, we need to save the people that are starving, then all of a sudden, you're, number one, looking at the world as if there's a problem. And the more we look at something in a certain way, the more energy we put to it, that we actually create more of it. You're also diverting yourself from your true power because you've now created something outside of yourself to be a distraction for what you're really here to experience about yourself. That is actually codependency. But if you look at what's going on in the world and you say, there's something happening in the economic system, there are people starving there, I know that there's nothing there to save, fix, or heal, that this is all an experience for me to witness. And that then inspires within you, I wonder what my own experience in my life would be if I chose to start a new paradigm. For example, my own life, I was inspired over the holiday break to take my website and completely give away absolutely as much as I can, everything I can that I don't have to physically pay to get created. So all my meditations, my writings, my magazine, my radio shows, everything I create, I'm in the process of now saying, rather than me putting a price on it and saying how much I think it costs and should be charged for, what if I allowed my website to just be there for people to freely access and say, I want you to decide the value because of how you have been influenced by it?
Mm.
What if just that simple experience was, number one, a paradigm change, and can I experience myself in receiving? Can I experience myself in allowing? Can I experience myself in knowing I already have value, so I don't need to place a value? All of a sudden, rather than looking at the economics outside, and being triggered into fear or into having to fix it, I'm now going inside and saying, what am I inspired to experience? Mm. So the world is speaking to us not to be saved, fixed, or healed. The world is speaking to us to say, what is being inspired within you as a new experience of yourself? It goes back to the statement that you said, Richard, earlier. You thought the world was created here just for you. What if that is the case? For you to experience you and to be inspired within you and to create from within you, and then creative inspiration is going to bubble up. That is going to be something that actually ripples out and does create a change in the world. But it won't be from a place of codependence. It'll be a place from a place of divine creation.
I've been approached on a few occasions throughout the duration of this radio broadcast, almost 8 years, 8 years come September 2014, that I needed to monetize my website. And I said, no. I said, that is not the purpose of the website. The purpose of the website is for people to get this information so that they can decide whether or not any of it resonates with them. And if it does, fine. If it doesn't, then they can move on to the next section of the smorgasbord table, if you will, and so on and so forth. You only have to make it like 99 cents and they can go. And I said, no, because even for someone who doesn't use credit cards or doesn't have a bank account or whatever the case might be, then they won't have access to that information. That is not the purpose of this. And again, that's for me. That is what I decided to do. And I have been placed in a very, I'm going to say, very auspicious position that allows me to take that position, allows me to do that. Have I received some funds from different people? Sure. I've had an advertiser here and there. But for the most part, you know, there hasn't really been anything that has come in. And certainly, as you heard me ask at the beginning of the program, if you'd like to be a part of what we're doing here, any support that you can give is greatly appreciated, but it's not required. I had one gal who I had a PR guy who asked me once. I was asking him about, well, how do I go about generating funds through the website? He says, well, you know, some people are charging their guests, you know, an appearance fee. And I thought, well, okay, but I don't want to make it mandatory. So I said to this one gal that I was going to have on the program that I'm asking for X number of dollars, okay, in exchange for appearance on the program. I used that very phrase. I am asking. I didn't say it was mandatory. And she flew off in an email saying, no, I've never paid for an interview and blah, 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 blah. I said, I'm not telling you that this is a prerequisite to being on the program. I'm just asking. End of story. And I, you know, and that was it. And I think that what you just said, not only about your website, but also about the rest of the world in terms of where our focus is, where our energy is. And I've used this analogy many, many times from the Bible, where Jesus it is said he made the statement, resist not evil. So my analogy is of a brick wall. That brick wall is evil. And what you are not supposed to do is go up to the brick wall and try to push it down, because now the wall has your energy. What my perspective is that wall, you turn your back on it, and you walk away, and you do the things that you are here to do.
Well, that's the thing, Richard, and I want to applaud you for the example you're being, because the truth is, we don't need any more teachers and gurus. Honestly, some of those could use a teacher or a guru at this point.
Exactly.
What we do need are examples. Examples of people that are willing to stand in their truth and be inspired by something and live out that inspiration. This past year, I decided after leaving that 18-year arranged marriage to embark on a tour where I was in an RV with my two kids for 11 months and put on 66 shows, one-woman shows where I sang, did humor, did things I've never done before, and didn't have a plan where I was going, where I was going to appear, what I was going to do, and allow the universe to just create it. And it has been the most amazing experience of things just showing up, just having life support me in every way that I needed. It didn't mean I created excess, but I did not go into debt. I had everything I needed provided. Can we trust life enough to know that that is the case? I don't think we've been plopped down here randomly. We are all divine children on this planet. We will all be taken care of, but we must first get out of some of the paradigms that we're in and go back to the center of ourselves so that we create that inspiration from the inside out.
I could not agree with you more on that. I think that there is a space and a time that is growing because for the better part of my, what I like to call my searching period that started at age 17, I read all kinds of books and from all different perspectives, all points of view. And I interviewed people from, again, the same parameters, all different perspectives and points of view. And in spite of the fact that I liked a lot of what was being said by them or written by them, there was never one that resonated to the point where I was going to give up everything else, and that was the direction I was going. I was going to follow that person, or I was going to follow that philosophy. And there were times when I would meet people who were following, I thought, what am I missing? Is there something that I should be doing that maybe I'm not wired up the same, and I need to get wired up so that I can follow someone or something too. And I've come to realize that what you just stated is I think the direction that we're all headed in, and that is that we are our own best guru, if you will.
Yes, we are all masters. We are all masters walking with a unique genius here to experience and express. And the greatest thing we can do for one another is see each other as the master we are, so that each one rises up into that space. There is nothing that cannot be done, but we simply need to know, believe, and live in a certain paradigm. We are in love all of the time. We are with love all of the time. We've all been created of love. We simply need to walk, live, and breathe as love in each and every moment.
Well, I find these conversations so fleeting. They go by so fast. And so we don't have all of the time in the world, as much as we'd love to continue to share what we're talking about. But what I would like to do is have you, if you would, respond to the three main questions that I put to my guests. And the first one is, who is Simran Singh?
Simran Singh is an example of the divine individuated that is experiencing and expressing herself as the essence of love, creativity, and commitment.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I actually have no agendas. I don't think that there's anything to achieve. I simply think that we are here to experience in every moment. If the next moment says to go off on a sailboat, then I'm going to follow the moment. If the next moment says write another book, I'll write another book. If the next moment says stop and just look at life, then that's what I'll do. We are just here as experience experiencing itself.
And how powerful are we as human beings?
As human beings, we are limited by the physicality that we have, by the mind and the belief systems we've bought into. As human beings, understanding that we are simply wearing spacesuits, but are housing in these sacred physical vessels, the divine spirit, then all of a sudden there is nothing that we cannot reach. There is no inspiration that cannot birth from within us. And there is no greatness to which our power cannot experience and express.
You had mentioned, and you've mentioned it on a number of occasions, your first book, which was Conversations with the Universe. I'm curious as to how that conversation for you began.
That conversation began with the numbers, and honestly, I think that book for me, had to be written because I realized early on I didn't trust life. I did not trust the universe. I did not trust God. I didn't trust the people around me. And most of all, I didn't trust myself. And over the course of the last 8 years, I have had such intimate conversations with the universe through the signs and symbols and synchronicities that I had to share that so that people could understand that they could trust life, that the universe does have your back, and that especially in the things that are the challenges and the obstacles are a gift or a message for you to help you move to the very next best step. And then your journey to enlightenment came in to allow people to step into that place of courage so that they live their dreams, they live a life that is in aliveness rather than just living a life. Because courage is not the opposite of fear. Courage is actually the opposite of conformity. And too many of us have conformed to what we think life has to be rather than having the courage to be in the aliveness that is our divine right.
It's sort of the question that I've sort of put to people when it comes to our current economic structure. I don't mean the downturn or anything of that nature, but just the structure, no matter how it's functioning. And my question is, who said it had to, number one, be this way? And number two, or A, B, who said it had to stay this way? And I get these looks of utter perplexity, like, what are you even suggesting? And I'm suggesting that we consider all other possibilities, you know, because when you look at it from a strictly material standpoint, this is really, it's destroying us as beings. Just this,
absolutely,
whole process.
It's buying into the fact that it has to stay that way, that it cannot change,
yeah.
or that we cannot be the experience that inspires that change.
Exactly.
That is the thing. I'd love to share, Richard, one brief passage. I have many different attention prayers within your journey to enlightenment to help people remember the truth of who they are, and I'd love to share one as we close out. If you could take a deep breath and just close your eyes and settle into your heart, focusing on the line of light on the front of your spine, knowing that it is anchored high into the universe and bound deeply into the core of the earth, expanding with every inhale and exhale as you listen to these words. I am the dream awakening. I am a spark, a divine one. My brilliance lights up the world. My radiance is the dew of creation. I am the divine masculine that seeds ideas. I am the divine feminine that nurtures and rears them. I am the divine child here to engage with them. I am the divine giggle that sustains them. I am the connective golden thread to all things birthing, shifting, and evolving. I am the space of the unknown waiting to become known. I am the experience and expression of love, courage, and commitment, being in divine essence in play. The truth is now out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Simran Singh is my guest, and her book that we're talking about, one of them is Your Journey to Enlightenment, 12 Guiding Principles to Connect with Love, Courage, and a Commitment in the New Dawn. Also, the other work that we're talking about is, of course, Conversations with the Universe. Her website is simran-singh.com. That's Simran, S-I-M-R-A-N-S-I-N-G-H.com. And we encourage you to go to that website and check out all of the good information that she has available for you. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.